a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Adelstein? Howie?
Here.
Gerstad?
Here.
Maher?
Here.
Merchant?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Frisley?
Here.
Hansen?
Here.
One absent.
Okay, we do have a quorum. Do we have minutes from the last meeting? Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So
moved by Merchant, seconded by...
Sandy?
Moved by Gerstad, seconded by Merchant. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. We do have a quorum. Let's see. Kind of some usual announcements. This is once again being carried over the internet, so those of you testifying, please be sure to identify yourselves. You're all. This isn't the first time. I don't think any of you have been here, so you've heard this before. Speak right into the mic. Be sure that the mic is turned on, and we have kind of must have something important this morning because the TV cameras are here, and so be especially mindful of speaking up plain. And I've also been, as I understand, when you finish your testimony, turn the mic off because there's some interference that appears along the way. Once again, those of you testifying, I would hope have signed in the sign-up sheet at the door. Anyone having a cell phone, please turn it off. And with that, I believe we'll begin our testimony. We're going to take the bills this morning with Senate Bill 30 first in order to accommodate some scheduling difficulties. Then we'll follow with 28, 29, 31, and Senate Bill 33. We're going to hold off until our next meeting on Friday. So we will open the hearing on Senate Bill 30, which is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the insurance of tax refunds, the issuance of tax refunds for the construction of agricultural processing or new business facilities. So first proponent of Senate Bill 30, please. And good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jan Talley, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation. Senate Bill 30 in Chapter 1045B allows for construction refunds and requires the owner of a business to reimburse the state for any tax refund if the project is not completed. Currently, the statute does not provide for an owner of an agricultural project to reimburse the state for any tax refund if the project is not completed. This bill provides that an owner of an ag project that is never completed would have to reimburse the state for any tax refund. Currently, refunds are made before construction date. If someone applies for a permit, and in some cases we do refunds before the actual construction date begins. This legislation also changes that. This bill provides that no refund payments can be made until on or after the construction date on all projects. That's my testimony, and I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll withhold questions until all of the proponent testimony has been offered. Are there further proponents for Senate Bill 30? Anyone wishing to speak as a proponent for Senate Bill 30? If not, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 30? Any testimony in opposition to Senate Bill 30? If not, we'll close public testimony. And are there any questions from committee members? Senator Merchant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have a question? Is this retroactive? So those that are, you know, right now in the midst of this, potentially constructing, not constructing?
Mr. Chairman, this would just apply forward. It wouldn't apply to permits that are already issued.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you give us a definition of what you mean by the construction date?
Mr. Chairman, the construction date is when they actually excavate earth or turn earth or begin to build a structure. So a construction date, for example, on a project, if you've incurred some costs like services and things like that, that's not the actual construction date, but the actual construction date is the date that you excavate dirt, move dirt, start building the structure.
Follow-up, if I may.
Yes, Senator.
Do we currently have in statute a similar type of regulation concerning other types of construction, such as power plants?
Mr. Chairman, currently in the statutes on the new business refund, which a lot of power plants would fall under, if they started a project and did not complete it, they would have to pay the refund back. The only thing we're changing with this bill is dealing with the ag processing because that section was not currently in statute.
One more follow-up, if I may. The Big Stone 2 project was never completed, and I believe they did receive some rebate of taxes. Are they going to have to pay them back?
Mr. Chairman, that information on a particular project would be considered confidential by the Department of Revenue. I wouldn't be able to give out that information because it pertains to a specific taxpayer.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering, has this occurred? And are we protecting ourselves for the future, or have we had scenarios in which this has already happened and we have lost funds?
Mr. Chairman, we currently have a situation where there's a possibility that a project will not be completed and some refunds have been done and that taxpayer will not have to pay that money back to the state.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sometimes these projects take several years. How are you going to determine that the construction of that plant is never going to be completed, or the project?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, usually what happens in a situation like that where the project is, it never really started, there's actually been no construction date. Usually with a project, you can tell because they haven't started to build the structure or anything. Maybe they've lost their financing or lost their members or whatever. If a project is never completed, usually what the refund applicant does is they notify the state that this project will never be completed. And then at that point, we would deal with the refunds.
Follow-up, if I may. I'm thinking about the packing plant at Aberdeen. A bill like this can't be retroactive to anything that's under construction right now.
Mr. Chairman, the bill is not retroactive. It would apply to any project started after the effective date of the act.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? I guess I would... I realize you have confidentiality, but there is some information available now on the internet as to, let's see, what kind of information is out there on some of these projects.
Currently on the internet, due to a legislative change last year, we are required to report the refund applicants, the permit holders, and the amount of money that we've refunded to them. So that's currently on our website. So if anyone wants to go out there and see who we've refunded to, that is out there, and I think we have that updated through December of 2009.
Okay, so the information is with regard to the refunds that have actually been made, not necessarily those that could potentially be made. Would that be right?
Mr. Chairman, what's out there is the actual payments that we've made. So if we have a permit holder and they've applied for a refund and we've made payments, we've accumulated those payments, and the total amount is out there on our stat report.
Any other questions? If not, we'll close the public testimony and open to committee discussion.
I move to pass.
OK, Okay, we have a motion to pass. Senator Merchant, is there a second? Seconded by Senator Gerstad. Those in favor will vote yes. Those in opposed, no. And the secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Yes.
Howie?
Yes.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
8-1.
Okay, Senate Bill 30 passes by a vote of 8-1 and will be moved down to the Senate floor. We now have, we'll open testimony on Senate Bill 28, which is an act to provide relief from liability from a sales and use tax rate change in certain circumstances. And those, we're open for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 28. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jane Page, Department of Revenue and Regulation. This is a streamlined requirement and request for all states. Right now, the state could increase the state tax rate, put an emergency clause on it, and it could go into effect the day the governor signed it. So there'd be no notification between the date it was enacted and the date and the effective date for anyone. With streamlined, with when people sign up for Streamline, they're automatically registered right now in 20 states. So if Vermont put in a rate change and made it emergency clause and went into effect today and you are licensed through Streamline and you had some business in Vermont, you would have no notice that they raised their rate. The same as if South Dakota raised their rate, a business in Vermont would not know that day. Streamline decided that they weren't going to tell a state that you couldn't do that, put the emergency clause in and make it effective that day. But if the state does not give at least a 30-day notice between the enactment date and the effective date, if we would hold harmless the businesses to get their changes made within those 30 days. And that's all this does. It holds people harmless for collecting the new rate if they don't have at least 30 days between the enactment date and the effective date. I went back and looked at the 1987, the last time the state rate was changed, and that was only temporarily, but it was increased 1%. It was, I believe the governor signed it on March 13th, but it had an effective date of May 1st. So they had more than 30 days there. So the state has done that before. I don't know if this would ever affect South Dakota, if you would ever do this, enact a rate change, a state rate change, and make it go into effect that day, the day the governor signs it. But if you do, all this is asking is that you give people 30 days to get their computers changed and their cash registers updated. This doesn't affect local tax rates. There's already a statute in place that they have to give 60-day notice. This is just for a state tax rate change. That's my testimony. I ask you to pass Senate Bill 28. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any other proponents to Senate Bill 28? Any other proponents for Senate Bill 28? If not, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 28? Opponents to Senate Bill 28? If not, are there any committee questions of Ms. Page? Seeing none, I will close public testimony and open to committee discussion and or action.
Move to pass.
Moved by Senator Adelstein. Is there a second by Senator Merchant? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. And the secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Peterson, a motion by Senator Peterson, seconded by Senator Gerstad to put this on consent. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? This motion, the Senate Bill 28 will go on the consent calendar. And let's see, Senator Merchant, will you carry this on the floor, please? And let's see, Senator Adelstein, would you carry it in, your caucus?
Which one?
Senate SB 28. Okay, we'll now move to Senate Bill 29, which is an act to revise the exemption of direct mail postage and to define direct mail for certain tax purposes. We'll now have the first proponent for Senate Bill 29, please. Good morning. It's been such a long time since we've seen you.
I forget to turn the mic off, too. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jane Page, Department of Revenue and Regulation again. This is another streamlined bill. We currently have a statute in place on direct mail. Direct mail is when your business wants to send out advertising flyers to, say, 5,000 customers. You hire a company to print the flyers, put them in the envelopes, buy the postage, and mail them out. Currently, the statute says, when you are billed for that postage, you, the customer, are billed for that postage, if it's line-itemed on the invoice, the company, when they charge you for that postage, does not have to charge tax on the postage. This bill says, but you can't mark up the postage. This bill says you can mark up that postage as long as it's reasonable and customary and still be exempt from tax. For instance, if the printing company buys the postage for 47 cents a stamp and they mark it up to 49 cents a stamp and charge you for that additional 2% or 2 cents, they still do not have to charge sales tax to you on that postage. And that's all this bill does. They want this kind of uniform around the country. It's consumer friendly, and we ask that you pass Senate Bill 29. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Further proponents to Senate Bill 29? Any other proponents, Senate Bill 29? If not, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 29? Any opponents, Senate Bill 29? If not, we'll open the to committee questions. No questions? If not, we'll close committee, close public testimony and open to committee discussion and or action.
Move to pass.
Second.
Moved by Senator Adelstein to pass, seconded by Senator Merchant. All in favor say aye, those opposed say nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Okay, Senate Bill 29 passes by unanimous vote. Moved by Senator Nelson to put on the consent calendar. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Peterson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Senate Bill 29 will go on consent, and again, to Senator Maher, will you explain this in your caucus, and Senator Nelson, would you take it in our caucus? Thank you. Okay, now this brings us to Senate Bill 31, which is an act to update certain provisions regarding the reimbursement expense exemption from sales and use tax allowed to licensed accountants. Is there a proponent testimony for Senate Bill 31?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Jane Page, Department of Revenue and Regulation. One more time. I thought this was going to be the simplest bill we had, and it looks like there was some confusion on it. Last year, just as the session was winding down, one of our agents was reading through this bill and got to, pursuant to Chapter 3620A, went to look up that chapter in the law and realized it had been repealed a few years ago and replaced by Chapter 3620B. So our intention was to go in there and just to fix that reference. There were some style and form changes also made in this bill, which I understand some people wanted to change back, and we would have no opposition to that if that was done. But all this bill really was to do was to correct the reference in the statute. Thank you, and I'd ask you to pass Senate Bill 31.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Page. Are there further proponents to Senate Bill 31? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Larry Mann, a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota CPA Society. And I think I've talked to most of you about the issue here, the style and form change. Obviously, we're in support of the reference to an actual statute rather than one that's been repealed. The change from attorneys plural and accountants plural is something I think needs to be done. It's a it's a change in style form that I think is important. When you change it from attorneys to each attorney or each accountant, I think you create some confusion, and it really got the attention of my client that they could perceive that as something that was more of a substantive change to the administration of that law than we might think. And I talked to just about everybody I can. And I think we've come to the conclusion that an appropriate amendment might be to strike attorneys and each attorney and insert in lieu thereof the term a person. Now, the reason that I say that is that most accountants and most attorneys work for firms. They aren't licensed for sales tax. The firm is, and the firm reports. So if you look at the definition of a person in the corporate statute, a person is an individual or an entity. And then if you look at the definition of an entity, it is clear that it covers all of those business entities that exist in South Dakota. So I think the preferred language, if you choose to make the change, I think it keeps things clear for those of us who are regulated by this law to change each attorney and each accountant into a person licensed under that statute. And that would be my only change with that. I think it's appropriate to pass the law. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and take other proponent testimony and opponent testimony if there is, and then we will provide an opportunity to receive the an amendment. Are there further proponents to Senate Bill 31? Any other proponents? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 31? Opponents? No opponents. We'll open for committee questions if there are any. Senator Gerstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question of Mr. Mann on the amendment. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm wondering if you're going to change that first attorneys, then underscore each attorney to person. Are you also going to be changing that next accountants that struck out and each accountant? I mean, that seems not necessary any longer. If you refer to person, which would refer to accountants, I mean, I might be off base here, but
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Mann,
I think it in each case it applies to people certified under a different statute. For instance, right now, or with the amendment I suggested, it would read a person licensed pursuant to Chapter 1616, and in the next. That a person licensed pursuant to chapter. So I think maybe the insertion of both is cleaner.
For clarification, so you are going to change both?
Mr. Chair, that would be my intention if the committee chooses to do that.
Thank you.
Further questions? If not, I would entertain the offering of the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I move the amendment to replace the word each accountant and each attorney with the word each person. A person.
Okay, we don't have a printed version of that amendment. Could we have a reading of just how that will work, how that will read?
Can we waive that?
On page 1, line 5, you would delete each attorney, which is underscored, and you would insert in lieu of there a person, which would be underscored. On line 6, you would delete each accountant, which is underscored, and in lieu of there, you would insert a person, underscored.
Thank you.
Is that perfectly clear? Does everyone understand the change that would be made under this amendment? Okay, we have a motion to amend by Senator Adelstein and a second by Senator Gerstead. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Senate Bill 31 is amended. Now, is there any further discussion on the bill as amended? committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption.
Moved by Senator Adelstein, seconded by Senator Peterson. Those in favor will say aye, those opposed say nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Okay, Senate Bill 31 passes out of to the floor on a unanimous vote.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Frisley.
I would move consent.
Okay, we have a motion to put this on the consent.
You can go on.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Adelstein. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Peterson.
Senator. Just a point of clarification. Can we put in a bill on a consent calendar that's been amended?
We can.
Okay.
Well, as I indicated at the beginning, we will hold Senate Bill 33 over until Friday. And so that brings us to conclusion of our business for today. Let's see, I guess that I should assign to your caucuses. Senator Peterson, would you explain this in your caucus? And let's see, Senator Howey, could you handle this in our caucus? And so a motion to adjourn would be in order. we have all kinds of motions to adjourn. I heard the one from Senator Frisley first, and I believe now a second would be workable. Senator Gerstad, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you very much. Remind you to leave your notebooks here.